Bibles to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13 will continue a series of lessons we've been preaching on attitudes, and maybe tonight more of a feeling, and that's the attitude of the feeling of disappointment. The attitude or feeling of disappointment. Proverbs chapter 13, and look at verse 12 with me. Proverbs 13 and verse 12 says, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life." Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. So many times we're disappointed because what we think is going to happen doesn't happen, but later down the road, it happens. And therefore, when the desire cometh, it is the tree of life. Sometimes we just got to be patient. Sometimes our disappointment is happens a little suddenly, and instead we should be patient and look forward to God keeping His promises. So we'll look forward tonight to delving into the Word of God and concerning disappointment. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You tonight for Your love, and we thank You again for the wonderful week You've already given us. As many have come out tonight, having come straight from work, I pray again, Lord, that You'd bless them. And Lord, that You'd just give us wisdom tonight as we speak. Help us to be an encouragement to everyone who's come tonight. Help the Word of God to not return void, as You said so and as You promised. In Jesus' name, amen. Things don't always happen as expected or planned. Disappointment. When that which is anticipated does not occur, when or in a way that we planned or we experience, we always, at that point, experience disappointment. Disappointment may not be avoided, but its effects in our lives can be if we have proper understanding of it. In other words, we can't avoid disappointment. It's going to happen from time to time, but if we have a proper understanding of disappointment, it'll help us to know and to be able to overcome disappointment in our lives. By the way, disappointment can lead to worry. Disappointment can lead to bitterness. Disappointment can lead to a lot of other things, just as a lot of other things can lead to disappointment. We're going to experience disappointment. We experience disappointment nearly every day. You may experience it at your job. You may experience it with your family. Right? Disappointment, unmet expectations. Sometimes in our friendships, we're disappointed. Sometimes we get to that middle age and we look back on our life and we say, am I really where I want to be or where I intended to be? And we have the 40 syndrome. The 40 syndrome. Nobody got that one. All right, good. You might go buy a Mazda Miata off of Facebook. You know, you never know what might happen. 40 syndrome. Look back on your life. And that, being silly, but that happens a lot. You would be very surprised how often people look back in that middle age. It's called a midlife crisis for a reason. And they are real as people look back on their life and feel like they've been disappointed. By the way, I am not disappointed where God's put me. I'm ecstatic. Disappointed sometimes at church. People will disappoint you. Good Christian people, good people will disappoint you. Sports, many times we're disappointed. Our team doesn't win, and that's just silly. But we do get disappointed from time to time. Here's Webster's definition of disappointment. It means defeat or failure of expectation, hope, wish, or intention. A miscarriage of design or plan. So it's a defeat or failure of expectation. Here's what we expected to happen. It didn't happen, and so we're disappointed. You ever come to Christmas as a kid, and you expect your parents to get you this, or you expected your parents to get you that, and instead you got nothing, or you got something minuscule, or whatever, and you were disappointed. That happens a lot. My kids are disappointed every once in a while. We think about disappointed. We think about the ultimate in disappointment, and that is when we think about eternal life. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says, "There is a way that which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." There could be no greater disappointment for a sincere man than this, to be sincerely wrong when it comes to eternity. There'll be many. The Bible says there in Matthew 7, and I'm not going to go read it, but where Jesus says He's there preaching, teaching His disciples, and He'll say, "Many will come unto Me. Many will come to the Lord in that day and will say, 'I've done these things in Your name. Wasn't I? I prophesied in Your name.'" And He'll say, "What? Depart from Me. I never knew you." There can be no greater disappointment for a religious man than this, to be religiously wrong. And I'm telling you, in the world today, there are a lot of people who are religiously wrong. We base our belief upon the Bible, the Word of God. And there are so many who are not basing their faith on the Word of God, but in man. And someday they'll stand before God and they'll say, "Lord, I attended church. Lord, I was an officer in the church. Lord, I taught a Sunday school class. And Lord, I did this. And I was good to the poor. And I gave it to the Red Cross. And I did all these things, Lord. Don't my works make up for the things? And He'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. Rejection. Disappointment. Again, to be disappointed in the plans and intentions of this life is nothing in comparison to being disappointed in the plans of eternity and an everlasting disappointment. The rich man is still burning in hell. Still burning in hell. Disappointed. Disappointed. There are many types and plans as we think about disappointment. Disappointment. There are plans that were improper. I'll give you a few examples as you think about plans that are improper. Plans that don't, number one, plans that don't consider God. We think about disappointment, many times we're disappointed because we didn't even consult God about it. And therefore we are disappointed. Proverbs 15:22 says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. And let me tell you, as we go throughout our life, we're going to be disappointed in some of the things that we do because we did not even consider God. We did not even consider God's will or consult God's will. I'm telling you, every decision that we make, big or small, we should consider God's will in the matter. We should go to Him for counsel. And then, especially when it concerns larger matters, we ought to go to others. That's what Proverbs is saying here. We ought to go to others for counsel. There's another verse that says there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. And so we ought to take that up. So many times we're disappointed because of improper, we don't consider God in the plans. Plans are sometimes contrary to God's will. Job 5:12 says, He disappointed the devices of the crafty so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. In other words, God intervenes to those who are trying to be crafty about things and go about it their own way. He intervenes and they're disappointed because God intervened and stopped it. Well, you didn't even consult Him in the first place. And He intervened because it was contrary to what God wanted in your life. There are some people who just don't care about God's will. I, for one, am not one of those. I want to be in God's perfect will. I want to be in God. And I believe the biblical principle is God has a permissive will and a perfect will. I want to be in the perfect will. But I am glad for His permissive will because sometimes I've been in that. I'm glad He still blesses even though we're not in His perfect will. But the ideal situation is to be in His perfect will. So sometimes our plans are disappointed because they're contrary to God. Number three, plans that contradict God Himself. In other words, God has told you to do a specific thing and you don't do it. Anybody think of an example in the Old Testament of that? Oh, Jonah, right? God came to Jonah and said, go to Nineveh, for that city crieth out. And go to Nineveh and preach there. And the Bible says there in Jonah chapter 1, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of God. Jonah actually fled the presence of God. He fled from the presence of God. God told him to do one thing, and he did exactly the opposite. And when people make that decision to go contrary to God's word and contrary to what God wants them to do, disappointment happens. And most of the time it's really big. Man, I could think of the years of ministry, over 20 years of ministry now, I could think back upon people who I know absolutely, without a doubt, did exactly contrary to God's will in their life, and they are down in the pit. Yep. Boy, they're down in the pit. And even at the pleading of their pastor, even at the pleading of some deacons, even at the pleading of others, a Sunday school teacher, they still chose to go contrary to God, and they're in the pit. A pit of despair and a pit of disappointment. Their life is... They look back on their life and say, life is a disappointment. Well, I thank the Lord. God's been so good to me. Not that I've always been, again, in His perfect will. But I'm glad He's allowed me some room. Knocked me around a few times. Poked me with a stick. And got me back over there. It's good stuff. We're disappointed many times because we have allowed our plans to go contrary to God. Plans sometimes can be proper. We think about this now, but may not be the best. And again, the principle is here is found in Acts 16. And let's don't turn over there either. Let's don't. Most of you know. No, let's do. Acts chapter 16. Well, you may not know the story as well. Acts 16. Remember when Paul was trying to go to Asia and preach and... God intervened and sent a vision to him. Acts chapter 16. Not Matthew. Do not go to Matthew chapter 6. Go to Acts chapter 16. My brain is developing slowly tonight. Acts 16 verse 6. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but there he talks about going to Phrygia and Galatia. And they were forbidden, verse 6, forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. He comes on around to Bethany, and the Spirit suffered them not to go there, and passing over to Troas, and didn't go down there. And verse 9, and the vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after that he had seen the vision, immediately, I love how he obeyed immediately, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. The plans to go to Asia were good. Paul's intentions were good. To go to Asia and preach the gospel to those there was a good plan. But God's plan was for Macedonia. And God's plan is the best plan. Sometimes we settle for good instead of best. And those are the hardest decisions, there's no doubt. The hardest decision as a Christian when it comes to God's will and what God wants us to do is many times settling between good and best. What is best for me? What is best for what the Lord wants in my life now? And so many times we do that. We think about, we may want to serve the Lord in a specific place, but He may place us in another. William Carey said this, God always gives His best to those who leave the choice up to Him. William Carey. I have an example. I'll give you a little story because we have a lot of new people. So when I was 2 years old, my parents got into church. Bible Baptist Church in Bowie, Texas, the best city in America. Haslett's starting to pass it up sometimes unless I go to a city council or a board of adjustments meeting. And my dad got saved when he got into church at age, I was two. He was 27, 26, 27. My mother got saved pretty close after that. They were working in the youth department, went to camp and got saved. They were working in the church. And there from the time I was 2 to the time I was 11, God blessed that church there in Bowie. It was a great church. It was running about 100 when my parents joined it. And 9 years later, it was running about 250. And Lord had really blessed it. It was a great revival church. And there when I was 11, there were about 10 or 15 men who were called to preach out of that church. In a matter of just a couple of years. And my dad was one of them. And my dad, I remember my dad putting the house up for sale. Put the house up for sale immediately. He said, God called me to preach. I'm going to go to college. And at that time, one of the popular Bible colleges for married couples was in Denver, Colorado. So some of the other couples had already moved up there and were going to college. And dad said, we'll go up there with them. Well, the house was on the market for 6 months, never sold. And so my dad finally decided and prayed. And that was not God's will for him to go to college. Well, the music director at Bible Baptist Church in Bowie felt called to go to Nakona and start a church, which is just 20 miles east of there, east of Bowie, a little town of 2,800 people. And so at the age of 11, my dad went over to Nakona to help with Roy Martin starting the church in Nakona, Bible Baptist Church in Nakona, Texas, the big metropolis of Nakona. And Roy Martin pastored it for a few years, and then another pastor came in for 9 months, but it never got above about 30 or 35 people. And so when I was 15, my dad took the church and pastored the church. And I remember I got to lead music for my high school years, and a cappella mostly, and it was interesting. We had a good time. I had the opportunity to teach a junior's class when I was still in high school, and me and my future wife ran a bus route. I don't know how you would allow teenagers to run a bus route. You couldn't do that today, but we did. It was awesome. It was a great experience. Small church. My dad was bivocational. He worked in the oil field. So you can see in my dad's life how that God opened doors, shut doors, God opened doors. And I believe my dad, again, I think he's the best Christian who ever walked the face of the earth except for maybe Paul and Jesus Christ and a few others. Anyway, he's Superman. And you can see how my dad, I believe, did a good job of obeying God's voice and doing what God had intended for him to do. I believe that exactly. Well, when I was 18, me and my wife got married right out of high school, and then my dad got transferred out to Snyder, Texas, with the Oilfield Company, and he had to go, and he took the job out there, and God allowed him to pastor out there as well for 12 years. The Victor Baptist Church in Snyder did a fantastic job out there, bivocational. There's many most of the churches, 80% of the churches in America run 100 or less. most churches need bivocational pastors. And so my dad's done a good job. So when my dad left, all that to say this, when my dad left Nakona to go to Snyder, I was 18, just entered Bible college. I really felt at that time I wanted to pastor that church. And I remember going to my dad, and dad said, well, you know, you got to pray for God's will, and da 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 da. And I never got peace about it. And so a pastor came in, a retired pastor who had a Social Security check and could pastor that church and take the small salary that they were given. He was there for about a month or two, and I won't tell you all that happened, transpired, but God moved me. And God moved me back to Bowie, and I'll never forget, it was a Sunday morning, I resigned, because I was leading music and teaching the youth department and doing a lot of things, and God moved me back to Bowie, which is my hometown, and God allowed me to work for Brother Gantz. Some of y'all know the story. I got to work as a youth pastor for Don Gantz for a year and a half at Calvary Baptist Church in Bowie. The church ran about 125, 150, and at times would run 200. Well, you got to remember, I've been in a church since I was 11 that ran 35. I've never really got to experience a larger church and what went on, and even missions program. Never really got to experience a mission program and all those things. And I'll never forget remembering just how the Lord blessed me to go to that church, to a great mission. And Brother Wiggins knows Brother Gantz, knew Brother Gantz. He's gone with the Lord, been with the Lord for a while. But he was such a great mission-minded pastor, and he was a great preacher. He'd get up in the chairs, and he'd walk back and forth as he was preaching. He was a great evangelistic pastor. He had a love for the Lord, love for his people. It was just awesome for me to work under him. Had I taken the church in Nakona when I was 18, I would never got to experience what it's like to be in a larger church with a full-functioning youth program, mission program, all the things that went on with that. I am so thankful that God directed me and God allowed me. Let me tell you what happened. I resigned from Nakona on a Sunday morning after the service. And then Sunday night, I went to my home church, which would have been, I'm confusing some of you, Bible Baptist Church in Bowie is my home church. I ended up working for Calvary Baptist Church in Bowie, all right, which is still in my hometown, but a different church. So after I went to my home church, Bible Baptist Church in Bowie, that I was saved and baptized in and felt that's where God was going to send me, that's it. I'm going to go help. The pastor's name was Brother Brinkman. I'm going to go help Brother Brinkman. Went to Dairy Queen, which is where you go Sunday night for church in a small town, ever small town. And there was Brother Gantz, and he knew of me. He didn't know me personally. And he approached me and said, what are you doing over here on a Sunday night? You're supposed to be at Nakona. I said, well, I resigned this morning. And he immediately said, you need to come see me. And I went and saw him. And God worked that out. I went on staff there for a whole $75 a week. It was awesome. For about 3 or 4 months, and then Lord bless, and we got it up to about 200 a week. It was awesome. Me and my wife living, y'all have heard the description of the first house we lived in, and some of y'all have the same experiences, you know, when you're young, married, and don't have anything. It's awesome. Little Honda Civic, 77 Honda Civic hatchback. I had three of them. I had two. I drove one, my wife drove one, and I had the third one for parts. It was a parts car. That's how I kept it running. You didn't know I was a mechanic, did you? And just a great experience. But I still, you look back and you say, well, had I made the decision to try to pastor the church in Nakona, and they would have voted for me. There's not a doubt in my mind. They would have voted for me, and I could have been pastoring that small church, but I would never got to experience being under Brother Gantz, and he was a good man, and getting to experience that. I'm telling you, being in the will of God is the greatest thing on earth. Amen. Knowing that you're in God's will, that you're where God placed you, and being there. And sometimes we may choose a good thing. It would have been a good thing for me to pastor the church in Nakona, but that was not what's best for me. The best thing for me would be to go to Bowie and be under another pastor for a year and a half and get my feet under me and get some wisdom and get some time and some age would help as well. And then after I worked for Brother Gantz for a year and a half, I got to go back to Nakona and pastor that church for a year and a half. And what a blessing it was to pastor it after I'd been in a larger church. After I'd sat under a man who knew what he was doing. and it was such a great, great experience as I look back upon it. And I'm so thankful for Brother Gantz, and he's in heaven, and Miss Gantz lives in Amarillo, and I touch base with her every once in a while. And so God's good. So sometimes it's hard to distinguish between good and best. And so we ought to pray that, Lord, that we would be in and do what's best and what God would desire us to do. Plans, we think about plans again. We have improper plans. We have plans that are proper, but maybe not the best. Maybe we settle for good. And then we have plans that are based upon God's promises. Here we would expect no disappointments. You think about, well, if I'm in the will of God and all these things, then there's no way I could be disappointed. I mean, if I'm doing what God's asked me to do and all these things, well, there's still disappointments many times, even when we are in the proper relationship with God, even though we are in the proper spot where God wants us. And here are the reasons. Number one is the time factor. The time factor. Abraham was promised a people. He just didn't plan on waiting so long. So he got impatient, and he caused a problem. His hope was deferred, but not canceled. But not canceled. Sometimes the time factor. Sometimes we're just not patient enough. We'll cover that in a minute. Number two is the location factor. Joseph was promised power. Remember the story? He's out in the field harvesting the barley, the wheat, and had a dream. And the dream, the sheaves of his brother all bow down to his sheave. And even his mom and dad, sheave, bow down to him. He had another dream about the sun, the moon, and the stars all bowing down to him. He was promised in a vision from God that one day he would be in power, that he would have significance. One day that his mom and his dad, his brothers, would serve him. He just didn't plan on going to prison. And that prison being a staging ground for his promotion. As I preached on Joseph here about a year or so ago, I believe what kept Joseph going was that he absolutely believed the promise that he was given would happen. And therefore, he knew it would happen someday. He didn't know about prison. He didn't know about Potiphar's house. But he did know that at some point, God would fulfill his promise. And so he kept on going. How do we know? By the way, he kept on going with at least a decent attitude, because God blessed him in Potiphar's house, and God blessed him in the prison. Had found favor with the guy over the prison. What an amazing story. His dream was deferred, but not canceled. Abraham's promise was deferred, his hope, but not canceled. Number three is the circumstantial factor. King David was promised a position. Here comes Samuel, the prophet, comes to Jesse, to David's house, and he brings all his other brothers before him, and Samuel says to Jesse, this is not the one. None of these sons are the one to be the king. Do you have another son? And Jesse said, well, yeah, a little boy out there watching the sheep. Well, bring him in. We're not going to eat till he gets here. Well, they were all hungry, so they had to hurry up. I'm just kidding. Hurry up, get David here. They got David there, and that was the one. And Samuel, listen, when Samuel anointed him, David understood. Sometimes this is left out of our thinking. When David was anointed by Samuel, he understood, and so did his dad understood, that meant one day he would be king. Samuel anointed him. That meant one day he would be king. So when David was being anointed with that oil, he understood that one day he would sit on the throne. He just didn't realize that would happen the way it happened. He didn't plan on being crowned under the circumstance of Saul and his son being killed. He didn't plan on having to run from Saul and all the things that went on. But we have the circumstance factor. The circumstance factor. Things don't always just happen the way you want them to happen. Sometimes it just don't always happen the time you want it to happen. Sometimes there's a location factor. God's got to move you down to Egypt and move you around to get you where you need to be, to keep his promise to you. But he always keeps his promises. And sometimes the circumstances have to change. In order for David to sit on the throne, he must have understood that something had to happen to Saul. Well, it did. And David became king. We think about disappointments and how many times disappointments defeat us. In other words, disappointments defeat us when we attempt to make things happen. I again use the example of Abraham. Abraham was promised seed and soil. He was promised that his seed would be at the stars of heaven as the sand of the seashore. He was promised all the soil that he walked... I'm saying it correctly for you guys tonight. He promised all the soil that he walked upon would be his. But he didn't have a child. And Sarah and Abraham got to the point where they were past having children. Sarah was past the point of being able physically to have children. So Abraham tried to make his own way. And in the process, Ishmael was born. And look at the mess they're still in from that. That's who they're fighting over there. They're fighting their own kinfolks because of Abraham deciding that he could do it his own way. So many times we're defeated and disappointed because we attempt to make it happen. If a door shuts, don't go through it. Don't try to pry the door open. It's kind of like going to buy a car and the guy comes out and says, well, you know, it's going to be tough making this happen. Well, we can get you in this new car. Now, you have to pay 16% interest, 25% interest, but we can get you in it. He's trying to get you in that car. You know what? You know, if that's the kind of stewardship you want to do, that's fine. That's between you and the Lord. But if you're trying to pry the door open to get a new car, or you're trying to pry the door open, be careful. Don't try to make things happen. Let them happen. Amen? That was a good example. I'm glad I did that. Most of you are going, man, I've done that before. Don't get ahead of God. Abraham got ahead of God. Don't get ahead of God. Sometimes we're defeated because we react and run the wrong way. When you think of Jonah, think of Abraham. Remember when Abraham went down to Egypt? By the way, anytime you go down in the Bible, that's the wrong way. They went down to Jericho, that's the wrong way. Don't go down. Go up. Don't go the wrong way. Don't react and run the wrong way. David sought protection from the Philistines. Y'all remember that story? Again, we don't have time to turn over there. Look it up. David feigned being a crazy man so the Philistines would take him in. That's the wrong way. The Philistines were their enemy. But yet, David ran the wrong way. And then, sometimes we are disappointed and defeated because we mistrust God. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah chapter 20. I have two verses, this one and one more to turn to, and we'll be done. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 7 through 9. Y'all remember Jeremiah, don't you? Northern kingdom's already been carried into captivity. Southern kingdom is right there on the edge, and Jeremiah's crying aloud against the king of Judah and warning the children of Judah to turn, to repent, to come back to God. And what do they do to Jeremiah? Put him in jail. What do they do to Jeremiah? Throw him in a miry pit. I read that in here recently. Threw him in a pit and with mud in it. And I mean, they just continually did terrible things to Jeremiah. What did Jeremiah? Well, at one point, Jeremiah did get a little bit disappointed. It says here, verse 7, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and I hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. He got sick of it. He got sick of the mocking. He got sick of the scourging. He got sick of the beatings. He got sick of jail. He got sick of all those things. And he basically cries out to God and said, Lord, you deceived me. I'm a prophet of God. You called me and you deceived me. Then I said, verse 9, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more of his name. I'm just going to stop preaching. I'm just going to stop, you know, heralding the voice of being the herald of the voice of God. I'm going to stop giving the message of God. I'm going to stop doing it. I'm tired, and I'm tired of going to gym. I'm tired of getting beat. I'm tired of being deceived. But look what he says. Most of y'all know this verse. His word, it says, was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. He said the message of God, the word of God, was like a burning fire within him. And he said, I couldn't hold it in. I couldn't hold it, even in my disappointment, even in my derision, even in my all the things that had happened to me, I couldn't quit telling others the Word of God. And let me tell you, in all your disappointments, in all the frustrations, the Word of God ought to be such comfort to you that you can't help but tell somebody else how good the Lord's been to you. Stop and let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. How many of y'all know that one? A few of you this time. Stop and let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. It's a good little song. Listen, we just stop. God's been so good to us. How can we defeat disappointment? Number one, trust that God is in control of all our circumstances. That's it. I know that's simple, but we're just simple around here. Trust God. Maybe I'm simple. Maybe you guys are more sophisticated than me. Trust God. Just trust Him. He knows what lies beyond the bend. He knows exactly what's going on. Number two, believe that God will fulfill His promise. God will fulfill every promise. If He says, I will supply all your needs, then He will supply all your needs. If He's promised to never leave you nor forsake you, then He'll never leave you nor forsake you. God keeps His promises. God keeps His promises. Number three, and probably the most evident one tonight, as we have already touched on it, is number three, be patient. Be patient. Psalm 37. Turn over there quickly, and that'll be our last one to turn to. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 1. Be patient. Be patient. Verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Or for the use in English, herb. Verse 3. Trust. You know, I know what things should. I'm going to pronounce them the way I've always pronounced them. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord. We preached on this here a couple years ago. And He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Trust in Him. Wait patiently for Him. Listen, we need to be patient and wait for the Lord. He will fulfill His promises to us. Don't look over the fence and worry about the evildoers. They shall soon be cut off. One day the trumpet will sound. We'll be out of here. God keeps His promises. There'll be many that remain. Proverbs 3, very familiar passage, says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. And what? He shall direct thy paths. Our disappointments are His divine appointments. It's not my saying, I got that from somewhere else. Our disappointments are His divine appointments. Trust God. He's in control. Be patient. Because your disappointment may simply be a hope that is deferred. And God will give you a tree. God will prosper you. God will keep His promises. Let's all stand. Invitation, hymn 241, Grace That Is Greater Than Our Sins, after we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your precious promises. Lord, we thank You for Your greatness, in that we know that You are all-powerful and all-knowing. And that, Lord, You know exactly what we're going through and what disappointments we have. I pray, Lord, tonight we would learn to trust in You more. Lord, that we would learn to keep Your promises in mind. That we would wait patiently for You. Understanding again that You're in control. Lord, we thank You. Help us, Lord, to stay within Your will. Guide us and direct us as only You can. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn 241, Grace Greater Than Our Sins, good old chorus.